Good day. What's going on, everybody? Welcome into First Take. Stephen A. Smith, Max Kellerman. I'm Molly Karen Rose Fells. It was a huge weekend in sports, not just NBA playoffs. I feel like every sport.
Insane.
We have a story for you, and we are going to cover all of it. So let's get after it. We start with Game 7. So despite a record-breaking performance by Luka Doncic, who scored or assisted on 77 against the Clippers, the most in NBA history by a player in a Game 7, it wasn't enough. Kawhi, Paul George, Marcus Morris, total team effort to clinch the series, a 15-point game win at Staples, and the Clips now move on to the Western Conference semis. They'll face Donovan Mitchell in the Jazz. Kawhi putting in that work, not just on the court, in the film room, too.
As we watch film and, you know, we've seen that we're leaving each other on islands, mainly on the defensive end. Nobody's really selfish on the offensive end on this team. You know, that's up to me and PG and playmakers on the offensive end not to be selfish, because at times you feel like you got to do it all. But, you know, these games aren't won with just one or two great players. You need a whole 17 or 16 players that you have, guys on the bench clapping, letting you know what's going on, and, you know, the rotation players. So, you know, I think we had trust at the beginning, but we just had to dial in on what we were doing.
What do you think you've been able to prove in this series and even last year in the playoffs?
I mean, nothing yet, you know. We've been in the playoffs twice since I'm there. We lost both times, so nothing yet, you know. You get paid to win, so we didn't do it.
All right, I told you about Luka. Let's talk Kawhi. He became the first player since Shaq in 2000 to score 30 points per game on 60% shooting in a single playoff series. What's even more impressive is average shot distance was over 13 feet. Shaq's under 5. Stephen A. Are you confident in Kawhi and PG-13, that duo now?
Hell no. I mean, I congratulate them on getting past the first round. They handled their business. I had my reservations at first. I thought they were going to – I picked them to win the series at the start of the series, Max. Then I thought they were going to get swept after losing the first two in L.A. Props to them. They came back. But then they go back to Los Angeles and they lose game 5.
Yeah, the Mavs are supposed to be done winning.
Giving up 40 to Luka. And then they're going back to Dallas in game 6, which I thought they would win. I thought they would win game 6 and then be typical Clippers and do and lose in game 7 because of the way the series had gone. But props to Kawhi Leonard for showing out, handling his business, reminding us the superstar talent that he is. Major, major props. And props to Paul George as well. Averaged 23 a game in this series. Shot better than 46% from the field in this series. He handled his business as well. Marcus Morris came up big time yesterday with some big time shots. I give him a lot of credit along with Reggie Jackson. But with all due respect, the Dallas Mavericks might have Luka, but they ain't the Jazz. That's the next team. Top 4 offensively, averaging better than 116 points per game. Top 3 defensively, yielding about 107 a game. In their first round playoff series against the Utah Jazz, they got not one, not two, not three, not four, but 5 dudes averaging at least 17 a game. They got elite perimeters, defenders like Conley and Royce O'Neal on the perimeter. You've got Rudy Gobert, who may be Defensive Player of the Year, in the interior. And, oh, by the way, they got a superstar, too, because Donovan Mitchell is on that level.
Fast.
Let me be very, very clear. I'm not speculating. I ain't guessing. I don't need to see. I've seen it. Donovan Mitchell is D-Wade 2.0. This brother is something special. And whatever you had to deal with Luka, you gonna have to deal with Donovan Mitchell. So Kawhi and Paul George, look out, because Donovan Mitchell is coming. The difference between him and Luka is that Donovan Mitchell got help. I didn't even remember Bogdanovich, Conley, and Gobert and those boys offensively, okay? Oh, and Ingle as well.
Ingles, Clarkson.
He has help. Luka did it. Don't get me started with you and Porzingis. I'm so done with him.
Yeah. His body won't hold up. That's the issue.
That's
with Porzingis.
Right.
His body won't hold up.
Well, he was in the game yesterday.
Yeah, but he has to always play himself back to where he was.
He's never been 3 pedestrian. We're going to have more on that later in the show.
A 7-3 pedestrian. Never drives.
Here's the bottom line. You have to be confident in Kawhi and Paul George after what you just saw. I am. The real issue has never been Kawhi. Mm-hmm. Will Kawhi answer the bell? Has he had bad games in the playoffs? Everyone has, including Kawhi. Kawhi is one of the most clutch players who's ever played basketball. Look at his playoff resume. He is a two-time Finals MVP, once as a 22-year-old baby, and later on as the best guy on the team in Toronto for two different franchises. And by the way, Stephen A., that's just the Finals MVP. If they gave out playoff MVP, he'd have some of those too. Because mm-hmm. he's had playoffs where by then you go, that dude was the most clutch dude in the playoffs, including the year he won it with Toronto.
Okay.
The series against Toronto was not his most impressive series. He went crazy that whole time. Okay. Kawhi, as a lead dude in the playoffs, you have to be confident in. He did it again. You know what he did? By the way, when I say he did it again, you know what he did? He talked about Steph Curry, 50-49. He went 60-49 for this seven-game playoff series. How about this one? Kirk Goldsberry had this on ESPN. Of all players ever mm-hmm. to score 200 points in a playoff series, if you score 200 points, probably went seven games, right?
Yeah.
There are only three dudes until now who shot 60% from the field. 60. And Kawhi is a wing. Those shots, as we saw from the graphic, are coming from distance. Shaq wasn't a wing. Mm-hmm. Kareem wasn't a wing. Bernard King, Stephen A. remembers, a sweet shooting dude. Bernard. Those are the only three ever to have 200 points, 60%. Kawhi is fine. So the question is Paul George. Do you have confidence in Paul George? What did we see from Paul George? He's played in this series consistently better than he's played in a high leverage moments throughout his career in the playoffs. Playoff P, if anything, is Porzingis now, not Paul George. Let's be honest. Is that a second banana who you can win a title with? Yep. From what I saw, that dude played well enough to be the second dude. He has to keep that up. The Jazz are a whole lot of. Right now, you make me pick, I'll take the Clippers because they have Kawhi and Paul George.
I'm not doing that. You're going to have to show me you can beat the Utah Jazz. I think the Utah Jazz are the best team in the Western Conference. I think they'll beat Phoenix or Denver, and I definitely think they'll beat the Clippers. You got to show me you can take these brothers out because I believe in these Utah Jazz, because I believe in Donovan Mitchell. Everything is predicated on Donovan Mitchell. If he's not playing, all bets are off. But with him on the court, with the Utah Jazz, they are something special to behold. Quinn Snyder, he was a Coach of the Year candidate and well-deserved. Rudy Gobert, Defensive Player of the Year. As long as he ain't going against Joel Embiid, he all right, okay? Not to say that Jokic can't give him a little something too. I understand he can. But I'm just saying, Joel Embiid is a different monster because of his athleticism and his abilities. With Jokic, he can't jump onto a curb, but somehow, some way, nobody can stop him. I've never understood
passing
that.
Passing ability
I'm just saying, that's not you. If you're a defender against Jokic, you can't worry about his passing.
That's what I mean.
I'm talking about a straight-up defense, manning up against him.
No doubt.
If you pass the ball to somebody else, that's not your concern. I'm just talking about what he did
to Yusuf Nurkic. Does Gobert want to follow him out to the three-point line?
Giving them 30. Well, if he had to, yeah, he could pull Gobert away from the basket. That would make that series interesting. I understand that. But in the end, I'm looking at the arsenal. These brothers for Utah, they can play it slow, they can play up-tempo, and they hit threes.
Yeah. They shoot and defend.
Threes. It's going to be interesting, no doubt.
Can't wait for
this series. I got Utah winning that series.
Guess by the what? Way, so does Vegas.
Mike Conley's hamstring, not so great. So, yeah. Donovan Mitchell needs everything you said is true about the team. He still needs a second dude, a second banana mm-hmm. like Kawhi has, who can get his own shot, hook up his teammates. You still need that.
Right,
and Conley's not going to be that.
We'll get into this a little later.
Yeah. All right, maybe.
We disagree.
Let's leave it there.
We disagree.
But the Jazz have the best odds to win the West. That's according to Vegas. And then the Clippers, second best. All right, we'll keep it rolling, guys. Bucks, Nets, game two. That is tonight, 7:30 Eastern. 43 seconds into the game, a huge loss. James Harden re-aggravating that hamstring and is done for the night. The Nets still found a way and are up 1-0. As for tonight, Harden will be out again. Here's his coach, the Hall of Famer Steve Nash, with more details.
To be honest with you, tightness and most importantly is he's out for the next game. So we're preparing for tomorrow night as we ended up playing last night, and that's our focus. You know, for James, you know, we obviously are desperate for him to return, and he's a huge piece of what we do in our team, but at this point I think it would be all guesswork to really understand. You know, he's had such a little up and down recent history with it that it's really hard to predict.
Are you hopeful of seeing him in this series at all?
I'm definitely hopeful of seeing him. Like I said, you know, it's tightness, and we've had this history before, which was very difficult to kind of, like I said, predict how it will go. So I'm very reluctant to kind of make any prognosis, but obviously we're really hopeful that he heals quickly and can move past it.
Max, let me just say this really quickly before we get. Please, no more superstars getting hurt. I cannot take this.
Short off season.
I know, yeah, but it's like one after the other. Yep. Hopefully he will be okay. I know he can't go tonight. But, Max, how confident are you that the Nets can get this done without Harden at 100%?
Oh, without Harden, it's going to be really tough. The Nets with Harden are a super-duper team. Harden's the most important player on the team. He's the one you saw that when Harden's healthy, they win. They almost always win. When he's not, sometimes KD and Kyrie lose. They don't win as much as you would think. Playoffs are a little different, but Harden is the most important player on the team. Without him, they're not a super-duper team. They're just a team with some stars. But you know who one of those stars might be? And this is kind of the least talked about theme so far from these playoffs, the resurgence of Blake Griffin.
Yeah.
Blake Griffin was probably the difference in game one. If this dude gets back to most of what he was, remember, he couldn't dunk for a year and a half, couldn't even dunk it now. Oh, yeah, that looks like Blake Griffin. If Blake Griffin gets back to being an all-star or an almost all-star, which he's kind of playing at right now, now it's a different story. I mean, the Nets are so loaded that maybe even without their most important player, they could do it. But I can't say I'm confident that they would beat the Bucks. The Bucks missed a lot of open shots for the Nets to win that first game. They did get a big game for Blake Griffin. Can you count on Blake to do that reliably throughout a playoff series? I don't know the answer to that question. I would just say, with James Harden, they're smoking everyone. AD's hamstring or groin, that's like a hamstring. Look what happened. Harden, with this same issue, has missed 20-something games this year. There's a good chance Harden misses this series. Then Blake has got to step up if the Nets want to win.
I'm confident because they have Kevin Durant. I'm so sick and tired of this James Harden, Kyrie. Everything in Brooklyn is about Kevin Durant. Everybody else is a sidekick. It's no knock against the future Hall of Famer and prolific scoring champion that is James Harden. It's no knock against Mr. Box Office himself, the best show in basketball, which is Kyrie Irving, because the brother is just a showstopper. It's just the reality that Kevin Durant is on another level. When healthy, he is the best player in the world. He is that lethal, the best offensive player in the world. It is just that simple. He is that lethal. Now, I'll tell you this. Here's another reason I'm not worried. Yo, Chris Middleton, how you doing, bro? What's going on, Chris Middleton? How's everything going, man? I mean, my name is Stephen A. We cover the game of basketball, even though people like Max look brilliant right now because he said there ain't no big three in Milwaukee. I'm here to tell you, Chris Middleton, there was supposed to be a big three. You were supposed to be a part of that. 6 for 23? Really? With no James Harden. You got Joe Harris looking like the second coming of Ray Allen. You got Blake Griffin. All right, I told you the brother could play. He just didn't want to play in Detroit. That's what that was all about. He just didn't want to play.
The biggest story in the NBA. No one's talking about right now.
He just didn't want to play. Diving for loose balls on the floor. You know, energizing the crowd in Brooklyn like Dennis Rodman did at the Palace in Auburn Hills.
Blake owes Detroit money.
Or even at the Silverdome.
Blake owes Detroit money.
He didn't want to play. He didn't want to play there. I knew Blake Griffin could still play. He didn't want to be in Detroit. He was playing for nothing. And that's what we're seeing right now because he's interested in playing basketball again, okay? Don't tell me a 6'9", former Skywalker. Walker can't even dunk for 2 years. You ain't interested in playing. He could dunk. He didn't want to play. Okay, but Chris Middleton, back to you. My brother, Milwaukee has no chance in this series if you don't show up. And if you could show up against Miami, how come you can't show up against Brooklyn, bro? How come you can't show up against Brooklyn? What's the problem? Jrue Holiday, last time I checked, you getting paid. What's up? I mean, what you gonna do? So I'm just looking at it, and Giannis Antetokounmpo, 34-11, just three times, But 0-3 from the free throw line. That stuff matters against Brooklyn because they don't miss free throws. Yeah. They don't miss free throws. This is how you got to pay attention to this
kind of
stuff.
Is Chris Middleton going
to
wind up in the Hall of Fame one day?
Well, in today's Hall of Fame, Max, you never
know. Do you think Middleton's going to make –
he got a chance,
Middleton's going to wind up in the Hall – Middleton ain't going to the Hall of Fame.
Max, he got a chance. The Basketball Hall of Fame, Max?
Yeah, okay.
I mean, come on now. It ain't hard to get in that.
Don't
get me started with that. Ain't that hard.
Just go on the record. I don't think Middleton's making the Hall of Fame.
All right.
I don't think Drew Holiday's making the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
Kyrie Irving, James Harden, and KD are all getting in. If there's a way to get in before the first vote, they'll get in before. You might as well just put them in now.
All right.
There are levels to this. How are you going to call that a big three compared to this?
Stop. No, I didn't say it's a big three compared. I'm saying you're supposed to have a version of your big three. In other words, if Chris Middleton shows up the way he did in Miami, hitting shots that he's supposed to hit, you still ain't Kyrie. You still ain't James Harden, but you're doing your job. And see, that's what you got to pay attention to. See, a lot of times you'll sit up there and you'll look at somebody on their perch, like the big thing. We know KD, Kyrie, and James Harden on another level. We get that. But the point is, when you dissect one team going up against another, it really comes down to everybody doing their job. If they do their job offensively, if they do their job, because the Nets ain't in a top 20 team defensively.
No, they missed a lot of open shots, the Bucks.
If they do their job, then it's interesting. Remember, without Jaylen Brown, Boston was able to steal a game because God showed up one night and helped Jason Tatum.
Let me put it this way. Is Chris Middleton the second best player on a championship team or the third best player on a championship team?
I think Chris Middleton at his best could be a second best player.
But the reason he's Chris Middleton is because he's not always like that. He's not Klay Thompson.
All right, Max.
Klay Thompson's always that.
But then, Max, then be quiet about the rest of the series then, because he's never going to do that. Right. What I'm trying to say, don't talk about it then.
No. What I'm saying is this is what you need to do to win. What I'm saying is two things. One, without James Harden, it's different. Okay. Because we saw that we have to acknowledge the Bucks also didn't shoot it well. They had looks that they didn't hit. And two, you say KD is the best player in the world, and then you have to quickly say offensively. And you know why you have to say that? Because pre-Achilles, if he was playing like that, we just say he's the best player in the world right now, because his defense was crazy too. He got to be a very high-level defensive player. He will still accept the tough defensive assignment. He just doesn't do it very well right now. KD has, that's the part of his game that is not recovered fully.
No.
So that's why you're not, saying he's the best player in the world.
Let me educate you about something. When you are so prolific offensively, you want to see a team that cheats defensively? It's the team that knows they could close their eyes, have one hand tied behind their back, and they can still drop 120 a night.
Was that the Warriors?
No.
Because he played defense. He played high-level defense on the Warriors.
But you got to remember, Steve Kerr, different coach. Not D'Antoni with Nash.
You're saying D'Antoni's not known for his defense?
How about that? The point that I'm trying to make to you is that's what is a different system, and it's a different way that they play. And not only that, you got a talk on your front line like Draymond Green that's yelling out assignments and backing you up. They know what they're doing. These brothers are learning on the fly. I'm talking about Nash and D'Antoni. Defensively, I'm talking about. Offensively, they know what the hell they're doing.
It's affecting KD's defense.
But also you got KD coming off the Achilles, and when you play in defense, you're at the mercy of somebody else. And sometimes you don't want to take that chance again.
No doubt.
Because you know you can drop 120 in your sleep. I'm saying you can take.
Are you saying KD's the best player in the world, period, right now?
Yes, I feel that way.
Period, not just offensively.
I feel that way. But let me tell you this, because I want to get to my point. I want to get back to Middleton. All I need Middleton to do, Max, is shoot 44-45%. That's it, Max. You make sure you take anywhere from 18 to 20 shots a game. You hit about 45% of your shots. That is not too much to ask for Chris Middleton. He's done that more often than not. That's not a lot to ask. And that's what we're talking about here. It was a game until they pulled away in the fourth quarter. It was a game. The point is that you got the pieces. And listen, and don't tell me about big with Milwaukee in terms of playing big. The only guy that plays big in the low post area is Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Drew Holiday.
Lopez certainly ain't going to be that dude.
If James Harden is playing, now they have a problem defensively. Because against a bigger guard, Drew is not the same as against a smaller guard, right? Yeah. And he can't guard Kyrie and James Harden at the same time. Who can guard those guys anyway? Once you take James Harden off of the Nets, Blake Griffin has to keep doing this for them to beat Milwaukee. I'm not sure they can beat them without James
Harden. Fellas, here's the deal. Game 2 is tonight, 7:30 Eastern. We'll learn a lot. We'll revisit this subject tomorrow.
Okay.
Sound good?
I'm telling you, Kevin Durant can take a nap and drop 40.
Yeah, we all know
that. He can take a nap and drop 40.
He's Kevin Durant.
He's Kevin Durant.
Okay.
You know who he is.
We know who he is.
You know who he is.
Get familiar. Okay.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Super Bowl champ Keyshawn Johnson joining us now. And Keyshawn once said, just give me the damn ball, so I will start with him. Key, do you like the Titans trade for Julio Jones?
I mean, I like it for Atlanta. I don't necessarily like it for Tennessee because I'm trying to figure out what are they going to do with him. They're going to all of a sudden, Molly, change their system and become a pass-heavy offense. When you have a healthy skill set like Julio Jones, you've got to maximize his ability. And that means going away from your strength, which is the running game. Their strength is the running game. So now you're getting ready to ask Julio Jones to block primarily, you know, 60-something percent of the time on your team. And that doesn't make any sense to me. You had a guy in Corey Davis who, you know, was in and out of the lineup throughout his 4 years in Tennessee, but he caught fire this past year. Highly productive, went to the New York Jets in free agency, and now you have Julio Jones coming off one of his worst years as a pro. You give up a second-round pick, a fourth-round pick. You get a sixth-rounder back in return. So what are we going to do now? Are we all of a sudden getting ready to line up and throw the ball all over the lot?
I like it for Tennessee, Keyshawn, just because you add Julio Jones to A.J. Brown and Derrick Henry. You have a lot of skills guys. The issue for me with Tennessee is their defense is what they needed to address, which they tried to do through the draft, but they lost a lot on the defensive guy, and Julio's not going to play defense. The bigger thing for me is that Julio Jones is a guy, to me, you pick up if you want to find out about your quarterback. Like, I would have loved to see him on the Ravens. Key, no matter what the scheme is, whatever, Julio is going to help you. Having him on the field is going to help you. What does he not do really well? You want to find out about Lamar Jackson? How good could he be? Go get him. Julio Jones. You want to find out about Cam or whoever is going to start in New England? Go get him Julio Jones. You'll find out about him. And what this told me, because I started thinking about this team offensively, and they should be a juggernaut. They got the best 1-2 punch at receiver in the NFL right now. And I was, do I believe in him? No, I still don't believe in him. And that tells me something about Tannehill, where I always was thinking, oh, he's a little underrated and Tannehill's good and everything, but it's not the old NFL where good enough is good enough. You need a little something extra from your quarterback that I don't know that Tannehill gives you. But I'll tell you this, we will find out with A.J. Brown and Julio Jones on the same team. We will find out about the quarterback.
I love it. I personally love it.
Yeah.
Because sometimes the best defense is a lethal offense. You got to take into consideration the level of competition. We can't just look at the Titans in a vacuum. We got to look at the rest of the AFC and what they're bringing to the table. I like what the Buffalo Bills did, but we all know it comes down to Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen, and they don't have much help, even though I think they just acquired Sammy Watkins. But the point is, you look at Miami, I'm looking at Tua Tagovailoa, and they've got some things to improve on their offense. I'm looking at Pittsburgh. Obviously, they drafted Najee Harris, and we know what a Steelers fan I am. There's something to be reckoned with, but they still got stuff to prove because obviously you've got people looking at Big Ben Roethlisberger and wondering what's going on with him. The Baltimore Ravens are going to be there because of Lamar Jackson, but how much have they really upgraded in terms of their receiving core? The Cleveland Browns are what they are. They vastly improved, but was it a one-year fluke? I mean, they're going to be battling in the AFC North, so you got something to think about there. Houston's a mess in the South. Mm-hmm. Indy, we still got Carson Wentz there. He's got a show that he can resurrect his career.
and Jacksonville ain't relevant yet. And then the standard is really Kansas City right now. And Kansas City, you're not – how are you going to stop them? It ain't going to be because Bud Dupree left Pittsburgh and decided to go to Tennessee. It ain't going to be because Janoris Jenkins is there. It's going to be because you keep the ball out of Patrick Mahomes' hands. Or you – and or you got a potent offense. So if I've got you stacking the deck, loading the block to make sure that Derrick Henry doesn't run for another 2,000 yards this season, okay? Well, not only do I have A.J. Brown to throw the ball to, but I got Julio Jones. Yeah. Because I got that, I can't stack the deck. And if I can't stack the deck, can't load the block, bottom line is I'm giving the ball to Derrick Henry. Those kind of things can lend itself towards you being more potent. And I think Mike Vrabel has shown us throughout his years coaching in Tennessee that somehow, some way, particularly around postseason time, just when you had question marks about what they'll be able to do and how much noise they'll be capable of making. They've made some noise in the postseason, and I think this is a step in the right direction.
I want to go to Key on something. Keyshawn, listen to this. So I got the odds here to win the AFC, and actually the Titans are seventh, which I find surprising. So they got the Chiefs, Bills, Ravens, Browns, Broncos, and Colts ahead of them. Do you think that's accurate?
I think it's pretty accurate. I don't give it to me one more time. What team in there?
Okay.
Give it to me.
So it's Chiefs, Bills, Ravens, Browns, Broncos, which is kind of interesting to me.
Anticipating Aaron Rodgers.
And then the Colts.
The Broncos is interesting. If Aaron Rodgers goes there, the Broncos, they jump significantly. They might be three in that list of teams, depending on what they have to give up in return to get Aaron Rodgers. When you look at it, look, Stephen, here's what I would say. Yes. They got two dynamic bookends, but that means you have to go away from what your staple is, which is running the football, in order to look at Buffalo, to look at Kansas City in the eyes, to even to a degree look at the Baltimore Ravens. You say you don't know what they did. They went out and got Rashad Bateman, who they drafted. Sammy Watson, if he stays healthy, he can be pretty good, as well as Hollywood Brown. So you know what they are offensively. And on top of that, they went out there and they got two wide receiver coaches and a guy named Keith Williams. You've never heard of him. But trust me, Stephen A., when I tell you this, nobody's better than him in the NFL. And he came from college. Okay? He's trained Devontae Adams along with Tyreek Hill and a host of other guys. And then T. Martin, who came from college. You've seen the receivers he's developed in his young coaching career. So they did some stuff on the offensive side that makes me go, I don't think the Julio Jones thing, based on everything that they did, they needed to go that route. I wanted to see New England, the Raiders, maybe Green Bay, San Francisco, all try to get Julio Jones.
Well, for me, I just wanted to make sure, because I meant Sammy Watkins with Baltimore, not Buffalo. So I appreciate that. The other thing is this. The AFC East, the AFC North, beating up on each other. We can't ignore that. And then when you get to the South, really the only team you're worried about is Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, the division is not terrifying.
The division is not terrifying. And so I look at it from that perspective, too. And I take it to – so now you're talking about, okay, you pull in the New England here. You know how for years New England was playing in the AFC East and you didn't have much to worry about. And then basically you're talking about them winning two playoff games.
Yeah.
That's how I view Tennessee right now. Get to the postseason. And then, all right, now you got to win 2-3 games.
I have a question for you, Key, because Stephen A. brought up a good point, and you guys both were talking about the fact that the identity is running the ball, right? And that's partly because the offensive line is a good run-blocking offensive line. My question for you is, when you bring in someone like Julio, does a line have a chance through scheme to go from to get better pass protection? You know what I mean? Is that just – are they good run blocking because they have Derrick Henry and it's a point of emphasis? Or can they get better in pass protection?
Well, the pass protection is only play action pass, right? They did that last year. Think about it. Both receivers and Corey Davis and A.J. Brown essentially had a 2,000 yards between the two of them. So they do throw the football. What you got to realize in these situations, when you get somebody like Julio Jones, the mindset changes for the new offensive coordinator. All of a sudden, he thinks that the offensive identity needs to change because you got a prolific star wide receiver and you get away from doing the things that you do best. That is what is going to be the problem with the Tennessee Titans. On top of that, their offensive coordinator, and Arthur Smith, is now the head coach in Atlanta. So there's a huge difference there from what they did over the last year. And I think that's what a lot of people are missing. They're just looking at Julio Jones, 1,600-yard receiver, 1,500-yard receiver, and they think you're going to duplicate that. If you're in the Tennessee Titans, you should have kept Corey Davis if you're going and getting Julio Jones. In this system and in this style, you've given up assets. You've given them up for a 32-year-old guy with a lot of money that you have to commit to. When you develop this Corey Davis and you drafted him and you let him walk out the door, that just doesn't make sense.
Listen, I look at it and I say to myself, I get your point. All I'm going like is this. All these offensive coordinators, there's been a couple offensive coordinators for the Tennessee Titans that ended up getting head coaching jobs. And, I mean, Matt LaFleur is the head coach for the Green Bay Packers back-to-back 13-3 seasons. I know that, but I also know he got the job when he was the 27th-ranked offense, okay? Okay, and then you look at Arthur Smith. Okay, I'm happy that he got the job in Atlanta. Good luck to him. But, damn, your passing offense was in the 20s. Why did you have a decent offense? Because it was the number 2 ranked rushing attack with Derrick Henry rushing for 2,027 yards. So
that's why they're not going away from it.
But they could
wear it down, Keyshawn. They might be wiser, and he might be saying, listen, give me the ball just a touch less now. They gave him a 4-year deal. It won the last 4 years.
And Key,
they guaranteed $25.5 million.
Key, you go from David here.
Nope.
Key, let me give you the dummy sports guy take, right? But in this case, I think, like, I it's hard to talk me out of it, at least the way I'm feeling it. You go from Davis to Julio Jones. You have A.J. Brown and Julio Jones now as your two best receivers. How do you say no to that? That's got to be an upgrade.
It's not that it's not an upgrade, Max. It's just that when you have a philosophy and a style that you believe in, and I'm a defensive-minded coach, I run the football, I play defense, and I try my best to not allow my quarterback to screw it up. That's not going to change. They're not going to become the Kansas City Chiefs because they got Julio Jones.
Yeah, because they don't have the right quarterback, maybe. I mean, you know, that's why it got me thinking about the quarterback.
All right. They won the division last season, lost in the wild card. If we're talking about 6 teams are potentially better than them in the AFC, I'm not really moved at this moment.
Ryan Tannehill did complete 65% of his passes, throw for 33 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. I mean, and he got
Julio
Jones.
I'm sitting here saying he's underrated until it comes down to it.
I mean, it is possible they might throw the ball a little bit more. It's possible.
Anything's possible. A dead clock's right twice a day. Didn't you say that? All right, Keith, thank you for sticking around with us. We'll see you tomorrow.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. 2 things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number 2, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's lectricebikes.com. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Sure is. Hawks Sixers game 1 did not disappoint. After dominating the first 24 minutes, taking a 20-point lead into half, the Hawks had their hands full in the second half as the Sixers made a furious comeback to cut the lead all the way down to 3 in the closing minutes. Now, despite being outscored 70-54 in the second half, Atlanta able to hold on for the win. A small tear in his meniscus did not stop Joel Embiid, who started for the Sixers, scoring a game-high 39 points to go along with 9 rebounds, 4 assists, in three blocks. Meanwhile, Trae Young continues to make NBA history. Not only did he become the first Hawks player ever to record 35 points and 10 assists in a playoff game, he also became just the second player in NBA history to score 30 points in each of his first four career playoff games against Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was the other. Ice Trae, talk to me.
It was a great start. We had a great start to the game. Guys were locked in and focused from the jump, and it was good to see. And the way we started in that first half, we just got to continue that. In the second half, I think we did a good job in that third, but late in the game, I take a lot of responsibility for the turnovers and for kind of managing the game. I can do it a little bit better. And best thing that happened today is we won. We have a lot of things we can get better at, so I'm not mad about that.
How's your knee feeling after this game?
It's all right. I don't know, but playing on a torn meniscus is, I guess, not easy. But it's all right. Just got to keep managing it and hope for the best.
Stephen A., bigger game one story, Trae or Simmons?
Trae Young.
Mm-hmm.
We all on notice. My emotions are over. I saw what he did to my Knicks. Saw what he did to me and my dreams, my fantasies. And
your hopes.
He just ruined that.
Crushed.
You know, he just ruined that. All I wanted was for the Knicks to get to the second round. I knew they weren't doing anything after that.
Knicks fan ever was.
I knew they weren't going to do that and do anything after that. I didn't see this coming. The Atlanta Hawks are really damn good.
Mm-hmm.
These brothers can shoot. They can play. And Trae Young is a guy that Luka's Luka, and we get that, but Trae Young is something special. He is a star in this league. He is on the verge of superstardom because the biggest stage is what he loves. And when you love the biggest stage and you show up and show that you love it and why, that's what makes stars in this league. That's what makes your name for you. He strikes fear in people now. All right, his movement without the basketball, his quickness, his ball handling skills, his passing ability. And of course, he is sniper-like tendencies. But the biggest thing is the people he's got to pass the ball to. Ladies and gentlemen, John Collins can play.
Mm-hmm.
All right, this guy, Kevin Huerter, can shoot the rock. Collins can shoot, too. Bogdanovich can shoot. Silence the Sixers with that late three. You can't leave them open. Who you're going to go? You literally got to pick your poison because they got poison all over the Atlanta Hawks roster. And I'm here to announce this on national television. 76ers don't win game two. This series is over. They're not beating Atlanta 4 out of 5 games. Not the way they shoot. Not the way they shoot. And Ben Simmons, I said this many times, he hit all 7 of his shots. His athleticism, his attack in the basket, his defense. Ben Simmons is special, man. But he is no threat from the perimeter. And because he's no threat from the perimeter, they get to key on some of the Sixers shooters the way the Sixers wish they could key on Atlanta shooters. That's a problem. And they're going to have to figure out how to fix it. I believe they can. But they better start in game two. You ain't coming back from an 0-2 deficit against this Hawks team, in my estimation. Game two is the series for the 76ers.
The story was not Trae Young. Props to Trae Young. Because that Luka trade went from, like, lopsided to not so lopsided anymore. Whoever gets Luka still wins the deal, but Trae Young is making that trade like, oh, okay, we see you, Atlanta.
Remember, they got a first-round pick with him, too.
Yeah. The issue is not Ben Simmons either. It's not Trae Young or Ben Simmons. The real story that came out of game one is Doc Rivers. Doc Rivers is a story. You know, we were talking earlier about the Clippers. Do you have confidence in Kawhi and Paul George, Stephen A? Mm-hmm. And I said, yeah. And part of that is because of Ty Lue. Ty Lue, like, we should get something straight. Ty Lue, I think he's now 4-0 in game sevens as a coach. Mm-hmm. It's not just that he has the horses. It's that he can really coach. Doc Rivers is going to be a Hall of Fame coach. He's won a championship. I think he's a great coach. However, doesn't mean he's perfect. Everyone has these things in their same thing that makes him a great coach. Some of the same things can hold him back. For example, loyalty or being, you know, intractable and stubborn. He does this thing where, so let's take yesterday, for example. First, he puts Danny Green on Trae Young, right? You want to save Ben
Bad
Simmons
mistake.
For later in the game. Danny Green can defend on ball, but not a dude like Trae Young. They fall behind. Then he does this thing, which he's been doing all year, Doc Rivers, where he plays an exclusively bench unit at the end of the first and the beginning of the second. That's when they got killed. That's when they got buried. Trae Young, Danny Green on Trae Young, it gave him a little lead, and then the Hawks, and then Doc buried him with his bench unit. Can't do it, right? Like, you're supposed to tighten the rotation in the playoffs. They go 11 deep, and they have some guys who are not playable now, like Shake Milton and a few other guys. You really shouldn't be playing these dudes. So what happened? They fell behind by so much because Doc stayed with the thing he'd done in the regular season, which you'd think he wouldn't do in the playoffs. Then later in the game, he makes some adjustments. Ben Simmons on Trae Young. How'd he do, Stephen A.? When you put Thybulle and Simmons on Trae Young, suddenly, it wasn't like the first half, that's for sure.
They trapped a lot.
And the Sixers caught up. Now, here's the problem. Doc just wasted a performance by Embiid, which on a torn meniscus, you can't ask that dude to do every night. I don't think he's going to be able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, the story is Doc Rivers. Will he be the stubborn old Hall of Fame coach who knows he's going to do it his way? Or is he going to look at this and say, I can't do the thing I want to do, I can't do. Because Trae Young just showed you can't do it. Can't do it. Can't play that bench unit. Just, you know, you're going to get buried every game against this Hawks team.
I get where you're coming from. Because I would have never put Danny Green on Trae Young. Too small, too cat quick. That ain't the kind of dude that Danny Green should be defending. But that's not what I'm getting on Danny Green about. 2-for-7 shooting. I need better. Last time we saw Danny Green was in the finals. We were not impressed. There's a reason he's not a member of the Lakers any longer. Okay? They didn't want him. All right? And the reality is that game, you know, that game five, you know, he didn't get it done. We all know that. They took the Miami Heat out in 6 games. He goes to Philadelphia this year. He's having a pretty decent year. But Danny Green's a veteran. You got to show up for games like this. You know, especially when you're going up against an Atlanta Hawks squad who's going to score points. They're going to score points. Now, we would sit up there and say, hey, you know what? Let's take Ben Simmons and put him on Trae Young. Ben Simmons probably wants that assignment. But if you watch Trae Young play, forget the scoring. You know what Trae Young would do to Ben Simmons? You know what the first thing he'll do?
Give him foul trouble. Yeah.
You know, all of a sudden he's dribbling and stop and bump into him and then go flopping. And he's such a miniature dude. I don't need to do that to him because he will get in foul trouble. Because Trae Young can get anybody in foul trouble, right? But here's the problem. You got to put Ben Simmons on somebody, right? You can't, a guy like Thybulle, you know, But if you put him on the court with Ben Simmons at
not
the same
shooting.
Time, it's
but
not
get,
enough shooting.
But between Simmons and Thybulle, you got 48 minutes of defense on that position.
I understand that. But the point is, you don't have the playmaking ability because Thybulle can't do what Ben Simmons can do. And that's where your problem lies, which gets us back to the shooting. Because if Atlanta was a team that struggled to score from the perimeter, you could take your chances with exactly what I just mentioned. You can't because they got 4 dudes on the court that can light it up from the outside. You're going to have to find a way. And Isaiah Thomas and I have talked about this on many, many occasions. Because I said, when I look at James Harden, KD, and Kyrie with Brooklyn, Max, at the end of the day, you know the only thing that has a chance of stopping Brooklyn? You got to man up. You got to literally go one-on-one. Yeah. I'm going to keep a body in front of them.
Philly is the only team with a chance.
At all times, I got to have a body in front of them with a hand in their face. Yeah. Just switching and doubling and leaving somebody open, you can't do that to Brooklyn.
Right.
And you can't do that to Atlanta.
And what? And the other thing you can't do to Atlanta is play Maxey and Thybulle. And you can't take your whole bench and put them out there for that amount of time to end quarters and begin quarters. You're going to get buried. But they showed. Embiid gave you enough. You could have won that game last night.